Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Okay, so this is your host, Spencer Graves, with Radioactive Magazine for today. And we have two guests, Margo Patterson with Code Pink and Citizens for Justice in the Middle East, and Mary Hladke with Military Families Speak Out and PeaceWorks Kansas City. They're going to talk about with us about concerns about the recent ratcheting up of tensions between the U.S. and Iran. Bill Claus is at the controls, and he's going to play a little bit first, if I can get his attention, and a piece that I pre-recorded from people tabling at a protest on January 4th. Bill?
I'm Aiden Allen, a student at UMKC with Sunrise KC, and we're here to be in solidarity with the No War in Iran protest. And we know that a lot of war are fueled by false key executives. Like, they actually just, I feel like around 2 months ago, found a huge oil reserve in Iran, and then coincidentally, we have all of these. This new information about how Iran's going to attack us and all of this, and then we also have the fossil fuel executives, fossil fuel companies, like their stocks are going up, and we know that war has such a huge impact on the climate, and has such a huge impact on climate change and the climate crisis. So we know that war, not only does it devastate so many people and it kills so many innocent people in Iraq and Iran, and those the people who will be mainly impacted, it'll also have a huge impact on our climate, and it'll continue the climate crisis in a way that like we don't need, you know, in a way that will endanger all of us, but also so many innocent lives will be lost if this war happens, you know, in Iran and Iraq, and people who have just simply because of like president's ego basically show how tough he is, kind of. So that's just something that we're not in support of, and we hope that we can have a peaceful discussion.
So how can people find more information about your organization?
So yeah, you can follow us on our social medias at Sunrise Movement KC. We also have an open meeting on January 19th. I believe it's at St. Mark's Church here in KC.
On
Streets, yeah.
Yes.
3800, I believe. And yeah, if you follow us on our social medias and keep updated.
And sunrisemovement.org also will have it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Great. Give me your name and the organization you represent.
Our Revolution.
Our Revolution.
But we're part of a coalition of organizations that are collecting signatures on Medicaid expansion. I'm also here to represent...
In Missouri.
In Missouri, yes. I'm also here representing the Bernie campaign, but that's a separate matter.
right. Well, Our Revolution is the Bernie campaign, is it not? Or is there a difference?
Our Revolution is the network that emerged from 2016, and now we're just about educating people on progressive causes.
Okay, great.
But we also are associated...
Some of you are associated
with the Bernie campaign.
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you very much.
So if you're interested in getting involved in the Bernie campaign, we can put you into contact with us.
Wonderful. And where would you go on the web to get that?
You could.
Is there a website that we can that you can direct
people to? Our Revolution Kansas City.
I'm Vega Weasley, and I'm with the Democratic Socialists of America, the Kansas City chapter. And we're out here today protesting the escalation of war with Iraq and troops in Iran and troops in Iraq. You know, we don't need this. Working people are the people who die and pay for these wars. And we say no.
Okay, and how can somebody get more information about your organization?
Sure, we have a website, kansascitydsa.com. We also have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our working groups include labor, prison abolition, Medicare for All, child care, and a Marx reading group.
I'm Clyde. I run Redacted Distro. You can find us on Instagram or Twitter at Redacted Distro. And we are an anarchist zine distro that tables shows in Kansas City.
Okay, so we're back with our two guests here, and we will go in alphabetical order, Margo first and then Mary. So why don't you tell us your name and the organizations you're involved with regarding Possible World with Iran.
My name is Margo Patterson, and I'm with Code Pink KC, and I'm also a member of Citizens for Justice in the Middle East, and the last group you can find at cjme.org. And Code Pink, well, we don't have our own local website because we think the national website is wonderful and will tell you everything you want to know about this and many other issues involving U.S. foreign policy. But if you want to get in touch with the members of Code Pink KC, you can email codepinkkc@att.net.
Wonderful. Mary?
Hi, my name is Mary Ladke, and I work with Military Family Speak Out, which is a national organization of families who have had a loved one who has served or is currently serving in the military since 2001. We really work hard to put a human face on war. It is the first organization to give military families permission to break the code of silence and to speak out against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I also work locally with PeaceWorks Kansas City. And their motto is, working for a world of peace without war and its weapons.
Thank you. So Republican elected officials, especially Republicans, but also Democrats and the U.S. Congress, claim that Iran is the primary source of terror internationally. Would one of you like to comment on that?
Well, first of all, I'd say that I don't think Iran is really a partisan issue. I think there are hawks in both parties about Iran. And I think in terms of Islamic terrorism, Saudi Arabia would usually get that slot. I do think Iran is a source of resistance to U.S. hegemony in the region. But many people think the U.S. desire for unchallenged hegemony, which is a desire that has been articulated by members of both parties, is a very unrealistic desire and is really the source of the endless wars that we've been seeing for the last 20 or 25 years.
Mary?
I think that pretty much says it. You know, we have made Iran an enemy for decades. They've been trying to regime change for decades. They have made them an enemy of the United States for many different reasons. And I think it's uncalled for. We need to start learning how to get along in the world and work with each other.
Can I jump in here just to say, to add to what Mary's saying, I think our policies are very risky, very unwise, and very counterproductive. You know, Iran has been facing sanctions for years, and I think many people who are kind of familiar with the effect of those sanctions say they've been very counterproductive, because what they have done is inhibit the growth of a middle class. It has impeded the natural growth in democracy and the desire for human rights. So rather than helping the people of Iran, it's really just arrested the development of that society. Moreover, I think there are huge questions to be asked about the Trump administration's policy. They seem to be pursuing a policy of regime change, and yet there doesn't seem to be any evidence that they have thought through this policy. What is going to replace the regime if it does fall, and fall through what is really an act of economic warfare on the part of the United States? The sanctions that the Trump administration has placed are unprecedented. They are meant to drive Iran's oil exports to zero. Well, and they are having a real effect. But, you know, the regime falls, you have violence, you have chaos, you have anarchy, and you have, unless you have a group that is qualified and ready to step in, and there's no evidence that there is such a group that would be acceptable to the Iranian public, then you also have lots of refugees fleeing Iran, further destabilizing the world. It's just, I think, a very short-sighted policy.
Well put.
I'm going to comment on this. Please. I know, as the engineer. Because, you know, a lot of people think of the problems with Iran going back to 1979. What they don't mention, and we don't have to get into great detail on this, that the problems really began in 1953 when this government overthrew the democratically elected leader of Iran and established the Shah, which then kind of led to all the things that created what happened in 1979. I know you both all know about that, but I thought it was a good time to throw that in there.
I agree totally. And let me just interject that if any of you listening to this broadcast are concerned about this or, frankly, any other major national political issue, you can share your concerns with your elected representatives in Washington. And I'd like to give a few comments about how you can do that and what I did recently. Specifically, if you go to senate.gov, you can select your state, and it will give you the two senators, websites for the two senators. So you go to house.gov and enter your zip code, and most of the time that will give you a link to your representative in the U.S. House. Most of those websites have an option to contact or email them. Many of our representatives ask you to contact them using a form on their website. That, of course, means that you may not get a file copy of what you sent unless you create one separately. So I use word processing software, and I draft up my question and copy it and paste it into their form. Before I do that, I like to research what each representative may have said about that issue that concerns me, and I've learned something just in the past 6 months that a lot of people may not know about. That's called Google Advanced Search. So I do a search for Google Advanced. It gave me google.com/advanced_search, and I did several searches there for Suleiman and Iran within things like blunt.senate.gov for Senator Blunt and davids.house.gov for Representative Sharice Davids. Who represents a good portion of the Kansas portion of the greater Kansas City metro area. And then I sent emails to my representatives and senators roughly as follows. I asked them, first, what evidence is there that increasing hostilities with Iran would likely produce better results than the U.S.-led invasions of Afghanistan in 2001 that is still continuing, and Iraq in 2003, both of which seems to have been unmitigated disasters for us and them. Number two, do they question the claim that Saudi Arabia is the leading sponsor of international Islamic terrorism? They seem to, because they claim that Iran is. The 9/11 Commission report said that they quote, we have found no evidence that Iran was aware of the planning for 9/11 attack. By contrast, the Saudi government was actively involved in preparations for that, though our media has suppressed the evidence for that. More generally, is there any threat to the U.S. national security greater than our own nuclear arsenal? Research by a leading climatologist say that a nuclear war between India and Pakistan would likely produce a nuclear autumn, during which a quarter of humanity would starve to death. That simulated nuclear exchange represents only 2% of the U.S. nuclear arsenal. The nuclear arsenal of North Korea or a hypothetical Iranian bomb could not by itself produce any devastation on that scale. However, a nuclear war involving the United States would almost certainly, at least according to Daniel Ellsberg, produce a nuclear winter during which 98% of humanity would starve to death if they did not die of something else sooner. Amazingly, I actually got replies from both Senators Blunt and Hawley. Unsurprisingly, both repeated the standard claim that Iran, quote, remains the leading state sponsor of terrorism, and neither answered any of my questions. So far, it seems when our people are killed, that proves to us how evil our opposition is. When we kill them, it's unfortunate but necessary. It will be very difficult to achieve peace without reducing somehow this asymmetry in human judgment. And that's why I like Wikimedia Foundation projects like Wikipedia and Wikiversity. Almost anyone can change almost anything there. What stays tends to be written from a neutral point of view, citing credible sources. Wikipedia and Wikiversity are the only places I know, and other Wikimedia Foundation projects, where people with different perspectives collaborate in developing a common narrative that all sides can find acceptable. And I put links to much of what I just mentioned here, and I'll put links to the websites that our guests mentioned on the description of this episode for Radioactive Magazine on KKFI.org. So with that, let me go back to comments by Mary or Margot.
Well, I'm here today to kind of talk about recent history, what just happened with Iran. So everybody knows on January 2nd, the U.S. kicked off the new year by assassinating Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, head of the Revolutionary Guards Quds Force, via an armed drone strike. Trump's decision was unilateral, and Congress was not consulted. The assassination of Soleimani, a foreign leader of the Iran government, is an act of war. The assassination was carried out on Iraqi soil, risking the safety of the entire world. Everybody was just aghast and didn't know what was going to happen next. We are very grateful Iran showed restraint in its military response. No one was killed. Iran's offer to not continue the attacks if the United States did not escalate further gave hope to the entire world. Unfortunately, acts of war have unintended consequences. And one of those was a Ukrainian airplane being accidentally shot down at Tehran's international airport on January 8th, killing all 176 people on board. This tragedy happened just hours after Iran launched missiles on two U.S. bases in Iraq. Unintended consequences are always byproducts of war. This crisis began almost 2 years ago when Trump abandoned the Iran nuclear deal, then launched an economic war on Iran by imposing devastating sanctions on everyday Iranians. So why was this act of war taken? Where is the evidence that there was an imminent threat to the United States? Well, we're hearing lots of different versions and stories, and now we have Trump saying it doesn't really matter if Soleimani posed an immediate threat. Unbelievable. Once again, we are being asked to take our government's, Trump's, word for it. Lies have drawn us into endless wars. After the recent release of the Afghanistan papers, which were internal government documents that exposed the lies told to the American people, documenting that the Afghanistan war was a debacle and could not be won, and yet they still chose to continue that war anywhere. 19 years later, we're still fighting in Afghanistan. That's a disgrace. We must never again blindly trust what our government tells us. We must question everything, demanding the truth. So, also, I want people to know that these wars, even though they're far away, really impact us. It impacts every issue we have in this country, like poverty, racism, the environment. So any activism that needs funding for human or environmental needs has to look at war. And the military budget. It's where all the money is. If you greatly reduce military spending, you won't have to choose which problem to fix. You'll have enough money to fix them all. And just a quick example. In 2018, for just 1 year, the U.S. paid $115 billion, that's with a B, in interest alone on the war debt. So since 2001, when these wars began, the total interest paid only on the war debt has been over $700 billion. So wars since 9/11 have little to do with protecting Americans, but are about the immensely profitable business of war. We need a broad movement which recognizes how each problem contributes to the other, and in which one of the unifying factors is to end wars and its massive spending, so we can better utilize those funds by supporting human needs and the environment. So what can we do? What we need is a strong anti-war peace movement. The time for silence is over. We need widespread public opposition to the wars waged in our name and paid for with our tax dollars. If we want to support the troops, we must make sure they are not sent to die for another senseless war. We must speak out in defense of our sons and daughters so they don't pay the ultimate price for Trump's rash and foolish decision. We need to stop the madness. We must demand diplomacy and de-escalation before another war erupts. And here's what we're going to do in Kansas City on Saturday, January 25th, and also in cities across the globe. There will be protests against a new war in the Middle East. So here in Kansas City, our protests will be held Saturday, January 25th, as a global day of action, no war with Iran, from noon until 2 at the plaza by the fountain. And that's basically at Main and Emmanuel Cleaver Boulevard. A war with Iran could engulf the whole region and quickly turn into a global conflict. For all who believe in peace, for all who are opposed to yet another catastrophic war, now is the time to act. So be there. Saturday, January 25th, noon to 2 p.m. at the plaza by the fountain. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary, I think you've said so many things so well that I don't have that much to add, but I did want to chime in about just a couple of things. One, when you talk about, Trump claiming, well, so what if it wasn't imminent? I think the American public needs to understand that the only reason for assassination, for that a state can, under international law, legally assassinate someone is if they are, if that country is facing an imminent threat. And it does not seem that that threshold has been met. In fact, the special rapporteur on extrajudicial killings has indicated that she thinks that it has not been met. So this is really an act of state terrorism, state-sponsored terrorism on the part of the United States. And then I think it's also important to realize that there are kind of lobbies in Congress that, you know, are behind very punitive actions towards Iran, and that it is important that the public, just, you know, regular folks, step up and say, you know, we have had enough of war, because I think there is growing criticism and a growing recognition that really our foreign policy elites have led us into some real disasters since the end of the Cold War. And they were led into that by really, I think, arrogance and hubris, that we didn't, you know, we could just boss the world and we didn't have to follow the rules of war or consider other countries. And of course, that's, you know, wrong and leads to an erosion of moral standards. I mean, I think drone killings during the Obama administration have really not been examined, because many of those have really been done with very little evidence that the people who were killed were in fact guilty of any crimes. So I just wanted to point that out. And in fact, the new Quincy Institute for Statecraft has been created because people on both the right and the left have come to think that a new institute that really advocates for diplomacy, it's necessary. So George Soros and the Koch brothers came together to fund this new institute that just got started, because of the perception that really our foreign policy has gotten out of control.
Very interesting. Yeah, very interesting. How can you connect that to the reportedly I read someplace that Iraq has, since the assassination of Soleimani, asked the U.S. to remove all our troops from Iraq.
Yes, and we should leave, because if, you know, when they ask us to leave and we do not have an agreement with that country, it's called a SOFA, Security Forces Agreement,
they can be arrested.
Yes, that's a forces agreement. They have to leave because they have no protection. That means Iraqis can arrest our soldiers and put them in their prisons and actually execute them. There is no immunity. So if that's the case, our troops must leave because they have no immunity.
Well, and of course, the assassination was carried out without telling Iraq what was going to happen, and it's a violation of Iraqi sovereignty. So That's one other factor in all this.
So let's bring back and mention, I think we mentioned two other upcoming events. One was the Sunrise Movement this Sunday at 6 p.m. at St. Mark's Church at 3800 Troost. And then the following Saturday, January 25th, noon to 2 p.m. at near the J.C. Nichols Fountain. And I guess we've got comments from time for a closing comment from each of you, and then Bill is going to read the community calendar. Is that the plan, Bill?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to just give a small mention about Code Pink KC, which is a new group. And we are looking for members. We have our monthly meeting January 28th at the Plaza Library at 5 o'clock in one of the small meeting rooms. So if any of you are interested in coming and learning more about Code Pink KC, you know, I'd invite you to come. Also go on to the Code Pink website, which will tell you about the range of issues that Code Pink is involved in. And I think it's, you know, there's nothing more important than war and peace, so I hope, you know, citizens will get involved in this.
Yes, and I work locally with PeaceWorks Kansas City. That's PeaceWorks KC.org. They have a website, and they will be out on the plaza on the 25th. And really, people have got to start taking action. Everybody is so busy, and there's so much going on, but war is connected to everything. It affects life, everything that happens here in the United States. When we spend that kind of money on war, there is no money here for infrastructure, for housing, for transportation. This has got to change, and we're killing people every day, and nobody seems to be paying any attention. This must stop. Please show up on Saturday, January 25th. No war against Iran. End these endless wars from noon to 2 p.m. Saturday, January 25th.
And if I may, Bill, I'd like to do one, make one more plug for if you have any evidence to any subsidy sources that support the administration's claims that Iran is the leading source of international terror, by all means, please go to the Wikipedia article on Iran and terrorism, or I've forgotten the title of that, but there's a Wikipedia article on that. There's also an article on Wikiversity entitled Winning the War on Terror, and you're welcome to go there and make your own additions, change whatever you want.
Community Voices is a production of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It is our way of letting the voices of our neighbors be heard. Any opinions and views expressed are those of the speakers only, and not necessarily those of NITCO's Radio Project, KKFI, board, staff, or volunteers.
My name is Chris Overfelt, and I'm with the Kansas City Chapter of Veterans for Peace. I'm here to invite you to our monthly meetings, which are held on the first Saturday of every month from 2 to 3 p.m. We meet together at the Vietnam Vets Hall on 31st and Walnut in Kansas City, Missouri. Whether you are a veteran or a citizen concerned about the rampant militarism present in our society, any and all are welcome to join us and work together for the cause of peace. As a group, we strive to educate the public on the harmful aspects of American foreign policy. It is vital that we as citizens understand the context in which American foreign policy operates, which is the transfer of resources from the Southern Hemisphere to the Northern Hemisphere. Viewed through this lens, some of the disturbing things that are taking place around the world, such as the wars in the Middle East and the migration from Central America to the United States, begins to take on a new context. In order to treat the symptoms of these issues, we must first understand their causes. We also coordinate and organize with many different social justice groups around the Kansas City area to counter the symptoms of militarism in our own community, such as racism, poverty, ecological devastation, and the war on immigrants. Please come and join us at our monthly meetings every first Saturday of the month from 2 to 3 p.m. at the Vietnam Vets Hall on 31st and Walnut. This is Chris Overfelt for Community Voices on KKFI.